You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. When friends Leif and Adam get together, two members of the award-winning progressive roots band Front Country, they call it Small Town Therapy. We call it Good Stuff. They're my guests on this edition of the Americana Music Profiles to talk about their new 13-track record, Dreams and Circumstances. I am talking with Leif and Adam with the group Small Town Therapy. Welcome, guys, to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great. So you guys are in Oregon. I'm in Virginia, so I appreciate you making the time connection work here for us today.
Yeah, wonders of modern technology.
Right, exactly, yeah. So I was looking over the press material that they sent over to us, and didn't realize that you guys are actually also part of the band Front Country. I love the work that you do with that group, so congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you. Is this a offshoot, side project? Is it tell me how you guys got together to put this together.
Does it predate the Front Country, please?
I think it might predate Front Country.
Yeah, briefly. Leif and I played in a country band. I think that's the first time we played together. And we also lived, like, he lived around the corner from me. This is Adam. And So he started coming over and, like, started working on music. That eventually turned into the first album.
Okay. So this is, you have a new one coming out in May, Dreams and Circumstances, but that's not your first record then together?
No. Yeah, so I guess we made one prior record, sort of put it out ourselves in 2014, and that was a collection of tunes that came out of the time that we spent together in San Francisco. We lived in the Mission District.
Okay, so that was going to be my next question. So you guys got together in San Francisco. Were you doing individual projects? Tell me how you guys got together and how all this began in the first place.
Yeah, there was this great, still is, this great bar in the Mission District called Amnesia.
Uh-huh.
That was at that time run by a good friend, Sean McGee. And Adam worked there, I guess. It did sound, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Around the time we started this, I think he had like a monthly sort of happy hour.
Oh, hey, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That ended up being a nice way to kind of, work out some of the tunes on stage and sort of a really nice venue for supporting local music and sort of folk music.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally touring acts. Kind of like, some of the secret best places to play in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you guys parts of other projects leading up to that, or pretty much kind of solo gigs at that point?
We were playing in a bunch of other bands. Like I said, we played in this, like, I think at first, like, really played music, really met Leaf, playing this country band, but we were doing, like, a bunch of different things. Like, I played in, an actual bluegrass band, and in this mandolin quartet, and, yeah, we played with my singer-songwriters and stuff. Yeah, we were just, there were so many different opportunities to play music, in the Bay Area. And so we're doing as much as we could. Yeah, which is sort of how you could say Front Country started as well, right? There's kind of a vibrant community, people getting together sort of casually and sort of gigs to play music. And, you find people that you have chemistry with, and that starts to become a project.
So you guys were actually part of the creation of Front Country then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, fun fact, the first time the members of Front Country got together was because Leaf had a monthly gig at a coffee shop.
Okay.
And it was Leaf and the original banjo player, and they needed to fill like 3 hours, and thought that like maybe just fiddle and banjo for 3 hours would be like too much to ask of the audience.
Okay.
although we probably had a solid hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, a solid hour, which is probably an hour too much.
So was that one of those things that was kind of, hey, we've got something really cool here. Let's pursue this, or was Front Country a little more intentional than that?
That was like it was the most organic. I mean, that was 100% like a fun thing that we did, that was like separate from all of our other projects. Like, okay. Everyone had pretty much like, much more consuming things that they were doing. And like Front Country was just like, we can do whatever we want. It was much more of a hang.
Okay.
Originally.
Yeah. So with the project that the two of you have together, does that kind of have equal priority now with Front Country? Is one a little more out front than the other, or how do you guys balance that?
Well, one of them takes up more time. Front Country is definitely on the road more.
Mm-hmm.
But, as far as priority, I think it's, pretty equal, making music and writing music, regardless of what group you're with, is the priority generally.
Yeah, okay. Now, the music that you guys do with Small Town Therapy certainly has a grassy feel, but I'm guessing that's not really the focus. Am I getting that right? It feels a little more maybe gypsy-ish, jazzy-ish kind of tones to it.
It's sort of like all the influences that we all the different musics that we like. I don't even know. Actually, it's sort of, we're just trying to make our own thing, write our own music. All the influences are there because you can't help it.
Right.
But,
And is it, do you guys include lyrics at all, or is it predominantly or exclusively instrumental?
It's all instrumental for your safety.
Okay. So I was making that presumption before I asked the next question. Does it make it harder to do all instrumental when you're writing and recording, and even when you're performing? If you're going to do 2 45-minute sets or however that works out, a band that has 2 or 3 singers can bounce around and kind of change it up a bit. With you guys, when you're doing an all instrumental project, does it make it more difficult to do that?
You know, I guess when I listen to music, I hear melodies, and that doesn't really depend on whether there are lyrics or not.
Okay.
So from the musical side, I'd say no, it does not make it harder. It might make it harder for the listener who appreciates lyrics and singers.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes when you're doing a set of all instrumental music, like you feel compelled to explain more, like in between songs.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like give folks something to hold on to,
like stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But then, you know, honestly, like people can draw their own conclusions and make their own connections and stories, and that's fine too. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes explaining a song with lyrics, you know, maybe you're not letting the listener draw their own conclusions in that case, you know.
Right.
Like, maybe okay. He wants to let them, you know, go where they want to go. But it does, like, I feel like, you know, in between songs, like, you want to, I don't know, give the listener some context.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the, like, song titles come in, the instrumental.
Okay.
You know, stuff. For me, it's like I want to, like, kind of point them in the right direction.
Right. Okay. Well,
go
ahead.
Go for it. I was going to say, you know, I grew up in a family where, you know, my mom was a classical musician, and so actually, you know, I was exposed to long form instrumental music before, you know, music with lyrics, really. So
okay.
It's maybe my own background.
Yeah. Well, I read a quote where you were talking about one of the songs on the new record, the Three-Legged Cat, and I thought it would be fun to have you elaborate on that a little bit, just kind of as in kind of adding to the answer to that question about instrumental versus adding lyrics to tell the story of the three-legged cat walking into the room. I would be interested to hear you tell me how you tell that story without words, you know, just with your instruments.
Yeah. Well, I'm tempted to make something up right now, but
well, that's the improv part, right?
Right. Yeah. In that case, you know, sometimes you have a tune knocking around or like an idea for one, or maybe you've got something that's like finished, you know, and you're like kind of waiting for the title to, like, you know, kind of like you're waiting for the perfect title to that expresses what the vibe is, you know?
Right. Right. Okay.
And in that case, we were just playing like the same like phrase over and over again for like an hour.
Because it was hard. Yeah.
But also, and sometimes, you know, we were kind of like, what is this? What are we doing? And during that process, just this three-legged cat walked by and we were kind of like, oh, that's obviously the name.
Okay.
But it does, you know, raise the question, like, how often do you see a three-legged cat?
Right.
If we see three-legged dogs all the time, you know.
Right, right,
but,
yeah.
Three-legged cat's kind of rare.
Yeah, okay.
It seems like, I know, but thanks for the question. I'm definitely going to make up the convincing story.
Now I'm going to be looking for a three-legged cat. Go ahead.
I think it's also a chance to, like, provide a little context of where we were when we wrote the tune and what we were doing. I mean, it was, you know, we were sitting in a backyard of a friend in the UK on tour from country, and that, you know, and here's this three-legged cat.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like bar. It gives you an opportunity to kind of like put yourself where we were when we were thinking of the tune,
right?
So you can maybe when you're listening to it, you know, think of a backyard in the UK and it's kind of sunny, and here's a three-legged cat, and it's kind of weird. An English cat.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. When you get together to write, is that again more of an organic process, or do you guys, we got a couple hours together on Wednesday, let's sit down and try to come up with some tunes? And when you do that, again, kind of going back to the idea of, hey, you know, I've got some lyrics, I need some music. With that element not being there, what is the inspirational process when you guys begin to put music together for new material?
Usually one of us will come up with kind of the main idea. And actually at this point, like, I know when I'm writing things, when I'm writing music, I'll, especially for Small Town Therapy, I'll like kind of leave space for to, you know, like maybe there'll be a part of the tune that doesn't have a really strong melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just assume that we can take care of that part.
Okay.
you know, so one of us will have an idea, and then we'll get together and we'll just play it. And there's, you know, there's a lot of kind of spontaneity and, you know, improvisation. One of the things that we like to do in general is just like kind of free improv, or maybe, you know, like more abstract improv around like a standard fiddle tune or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of carries over to the compositional process, sort of, you know, just like we were saying with the three-legged cat thing, we'll just play the tune a bunch of times and, you know, kind of see where that takes us and see what ideas we come up with.
Right, okay. So if I'm, correct me if I'm not reading this right, but you guys kind of have a foundation of what the tune is and then give yourself the freedom to improv when you're performing it. So it may change from performance to performance. Is that fair?
Some of them are pretty, pretty like set in stone.
Okay.
You know, so there's actually, well, you know, there's some of the tunes, like there's on the new record, there's Dreams on a Pillow Bed, which Leaf wrote, and that's very free and improvisational. Like,
mm-hmm.
like the majority of it is different every time.
Okay.
Like the first note is different every time. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
The first and well, no, like, but then there's a bunch of pieces that we wrote for fiddle and mandolin that are on the record that are like pretty composed. But within those pieces, there's sections that are like, you know, solo sections.
Okay.
That portion is different every time.
Mm-hmm.
You could think of it, you know, if you want to make the analogy to songs with lyric, there's like, you know, the verses and choruses, and then there's the instrumental sort of section, and sometimes that's improvised.
Yeah.
That's one way of, you know, you want to wrap your head around listening to teams, that's one way.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Do you guys, is it exclusively the two of you, or do you bring other musicians' instruments into the mix?
Great question. On the new album, thank you for going.
Sure.
on the new album, we have, actually on the first album as well, we had a bunch of guests. But for this new record, what we were kind of inspired to do was like have one guest at a time. So
okay.
It's like Small Town Therapy plus one.
Okay.
We did a little tour last year with this great singer and songwriter named Eli West. And we, at the end of the tour, like, Luke and I were going in the studio, and we were like, you know, we'd had so much fun playing shows with Eli that we asked him to come in and record a couple tunes. And then from that, you know, we sort of got the idea and asked some other friends. Mm. You know, that process was actually really fun for me personally, because, like, we had this guest who's an amazing instrumentalist, you know, and an amazing, like, writer and improviser. And we sent them the tune ahead of time, but we didn't arrange anything. So we arranged it all. We did it all in the studio.
Cool.
And it was, like, super spontaneous, you know. So.
How does that translate to your live performances? Are you guys...
the collaboration?
Right, yeah. Are you guys bringing folks along to fill in those roles, or those artists in particular, or is that just for the album purposes?
I think the idea is to continue that. I mean, you know, we're sort of making it up as we go.
Well, I think, you know, as far as, like, live performances, you know, the idea is to have, you know, when we can, like, bring another person with us, you know. It's all, for the live performances, it's all about spontaneity, energy.
Right.
And so having another person, another voice, you know, to kind of, you know, bounce ideas off during the performance is, you know, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sort of depends on who's available and what goes for them, you know.
Yeah,
like, for example, we did a house show in Knoxville, Tennessee earlier this year, and there was a wonderful drummer, you know, who was in the audience, and we're like, hey, you should, you know, play a tune with us.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that worked out really well. So I think it's very much a part of the vibe.
Yeah.
He's a drummer from the John Stickney Trio.
Yeah. 100
yeah.
Deacon.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So the new record is Dreams and Circumstances out, if I've got this right, May 17th. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
If folks want to reach out, I want to get a copy of that. What's the best way to get in touch and to get their hands on the new music?
Yeah, well, I guess we're really excited to be working with Organic Records to put this out. They're also the label that Front Country works with, and we think really highly of them. And we have, you know, for the first time, I guess, both CDs and vinyl, if you want a hard copy of music.
Awesome. Yeah.
You can sell those to our website. What is the website?
smalltowntherapy.squarespace.com.
So it's smalltowntherapy. Did you say .squarespace.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
You can pre-order them there. And also, you know, CD Baby, all the places.
Yeah.
But pre-ordering is highly recommended.
Yeah. Cool. Good. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. This has been cool, and I learned some new stuff about you guys in the Front Country Band, and so I appreciate you sharing that with our audience, and we wish you the best with the new record.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.